Good evening. Well, I think we're all old regulars tonight. Old regulars. And probably because of that, you've all heard this talk before. I'm kind of on a roll. I am feeling pretty settled in this idea of mine. I'm already feeling quicksand with these words, my ideas, and this, something that's true. But I think our Mahayana practice is just to see Buddha. Whether we look, as Jean was talking about last week, to the north or the south or the east or the west, just everything that appears to us, we say, that's Buddha. And I'm Buddha, and there's no separation. just to recall another thing that Jean quoted, Abbot Linda Ruth Cutts, saying that we should see everything with bodhicitta, the mind of awakening. And that mind is doesn't fluctuate. It just sees everything as Buddha. Dogen used another metaphor. The entire world of the ten directions is the radiant light of the self. The entire world of the ten directions is within the radiant light of the self. In the entire world of the ten directions, there is not a single person that is not the self. So this, how do we see everything as radiant light of this big self that fills the universe? Pick your metaphor, the radiant light, the awakened mind. What I think got me on this journey was several months ago when we were studying Shohaku Okamura's commentary on Dogen's fascicle, Mountains and Waters. And his take on this was view the world, see the world with your Dharma eye rather than your karmic consciousness. And that just made good sense to me. That was another way of talking about abiding in bodhicitta, our awakened mind, or just seeing radiant light in all directions. So we abide in that radiant light, in this radiant light, thank you, Ziggy. We abide in this radiant light in our zazen. We settle into our bodhicitta, our awakened mind. Maybe not for 40 minutes, but we sink down there, maybe for a little bit. And I've said this before, I think that's what keeps us coming back to the sitting. Maybe for 37 minutes we're thinking of car repair, and maybe 3 minutes we've settled in radiant light or awakened mind, or we've opened our Dharma eyes. But it nourishes enough. It nourishes us enough. This is just me thinking here, me pondering. It nourishes us that we say, I'm going to come back and do this again. I felt that was the food that I need for this life and this body and mind. you also might know that it's, if somebody were telling you about meditation, if somebody were sort of giving you meditation instruction, or I meditate, this is what I do. I sit on the cushion and I curl up my legs and I lean one direction. And I lean the other direction and I follow my breath. And I think it's just what I need. It's just the nourishment I need. If we were just getting that instruction, we'd probably say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But it would be very different than actually sitting on these cushions, on these platforms, and throwing back our shoulders, and actually being in this mind for 40 minutes. It would be, we would have a, I don't want to say experience, but we would know it in a different way, in an intimate way. We would kind of trust it. And I think because you all look familiar, that you're all regulars here, I think you do know that in an intimate way. There's a commentary in one of the koans that we've looked at that says, when you drink the water, you know the temperature of the water. And that's a different knowing than if somebody said, here's a glass of water, it's 75 degrees. When we actually drink the water, we don't say, oh, this is 75 degrees. We know that temperature of the water. So this is a practice of confidence. And Suzuki said, just come sit with me. Try to visit this mind and body every day. And I always say, he didn't imagine that everybody was going to drive across San Francisco and sit with him exactly every day. He wanted people just to carve out a few minutes every day to gain confidence in bodhicitta, or to know their dharma eye, to remember their Buddha nature, just to get confident that you know it. So, and we might have the experience when we get up from Zazen, we get in our car and drive home, and we're kind of still in our Zazen body and mind. And we have a certain connection with the steering wheel that maybe we don't have when we jump in our car to run to the store at 3 in the afternoon or 5 in the afternoon. Maybe we actually, I feel so settled here, and I feel so connected with this steering wheel. So that's what Suzuki wanted us to know, was that intimate connection with all things that we get confident in by visiting, by settling into the mind and body of Buddha on a regular basis. What's the name of the show now? Live from Here on PBS, on NPR, the music show, Saturday nights at 8 o'clock and Sunday mornings at 10. They sang a song by John Hartford, an old folk singer. And one of the lines was, I'm already in love with the person, with people I haven't met with, I haven't met yet. I'm already in love with people I haven't met yet. That's settling into bodhicitta, Buddha nature, and seeing everyone as intimate and as nothing but Buddha. And John Hartford was able to have that confidence that, you know, it's going this way for me now. And I just imagine that people I haven't met yet, I'm going to feel that same non-separation, that same intimacy. So earlier this month, the first week in May, I went back east to see friends. And at the end of the trip, I was in the plane just thinking, gee, this was a great week. I've had a great week here. And I recalled, staying with the friend that just took me to the airport. But I stayed with one friend all week and then saw several friends over the course of the week. We drove down to another town to see friends. And I was thinking, gee, this was a great week. And I thought of this, just the whole week, I was open to everything. I loved everybody I saw. And maybe this is the knowing of seeing everybody and everything with my Dharma eye. Maybe that's what it's all about. I had to laugh a little because, then I said, well, it's easy to do that on vacation. Of course everything is, people aren't gonna, greet you and give you a hard time but I said, I've carried this mind and open-hearted connectedness for a whole week now. I'm sure that's got to be at least pretty close to what Shohaku says of seeing the world with Dharma eye rather than karmic consciousness, or what Linda Ruth might say about abiding in our awakened mind, our bodhicitta. It's got to be pretty close. And I don't think it's easy to sort of switch into vacation mind all the time, although I don't, it's hard to know what it is. It's hard to know what line you have to cross. But I drank the water. I feel like I know the temperature of the water, or I think I know what that open-hearted abiding in the world is like. Even under the maybe artificial circumstance of being on vacation, I think I've tasted the water. I think I know the temperature, and I can when I'm not feeling like I'm in vacation mind, when I'm really jolted, or maybe just a little bit frustrated, maybe that will be enough of a mindfulness bell to sort of say, I wonder what it would take to change my mind. I wonder if I can abide in my awakened mind, or settle into my Buddha nature. I wonder what it would take. And I don't think that's too far from the idea of turning the light inward, or taking the backward step, or these metaphors for our sitting practice of just looking inward. And as Dogen said that a moment of zazen is a moment of enlightenment. So just that, even though I might not be, well, I shouldn't say that, but I think even that turning the light around at the hearing the bell of frustration or getting jolted by something really, really strong, I think just turning my mind around changes everything, is the practice of, that Dogen said, that was enlightenment itself. I think that's why we gain confidence in this practice. We know when suffering arises that also Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are there, and we can greet them and say let's do this. Let's look at this frustration. Let's look at this this jolt in my mind and heart. Let's look at this together. I think that's how Buddhas and our Buddha natures arise, because we've already got confidence in this practice. We already know that that fresh 75 degree water of our Bodhi mind, to mix as many metaphors as I possibly can, in that watery stew. I've talked before about sitting in this seat, facing outwards, and seeing people sitting in zazen, and everybody looks like it's nothing but Bodhi mind being dwelt in. But knowing my own meditation, I know that that some people are thinking about car repair, and then they might remember, and you don't even know it. They just do a little shift, and they're back dwelling in the radiant light of the self. It's just the tiniest shift. And there's a in San Francisco once a year, there's an event called Change Your Mind Day, and I think San Francisco Zen Center is a big supporter of that. And I think people just go and sit. And that's how we change our minds. We just turn that light inward. And maybe sometimes we can go a whole week in that radiant light where everything is welcomed into this big heart of the self that's filling the whole universe. And nothing is rejected. Nothing is separate. Maybe it's just nice to sit for a while in the park in zazen, and our mind changes for a brief time. But we keep coming back to this practice, because we've already developed a little confidence in this Bodhi mind. Um, this Sunday, a lot of us will go down. We'll meet at Pacific and Cooper Street at 10 or 10:30 to celebrate Diversity Pride Day. We have a lot of fun, and we're part of the biggest group. They put all the churches and faith-based organizations together, and this year the lead, one after another. We'll have our Santa Cruz Zen Center sign, and Vipassana will be nearby, and Ocean Gate Zen Center will be nearby, and Peace United will be nearby, and you know, there's usually 8 or 10 faith-based groups there. And this year the lead of that group is going to be this ministerial association that's been around for a half a dozen years now or more, Out in Our Faith, a group of ministers that want to let people know that diversity is valued in our faith-based organizations. But if you've never actually been in a parade and want to do such a great thing, it's a lot of fun. So just meet us down there. You'll see our sign, and you can stand with us. You can march with us and just wave to people. And but this parade, you know, has been going on since the early 70s. And I can remember when, so now it sort of starts around Bookshop Santa Cruz and goes down towards the Catalyst and the bus station and ends at the parking lot where they have the farmer's market. So it goes that direction. It used to start there, you know, in the way down there by the bus station, and walk towards the town clock, and then it used to just keep going down Water Street, and then the kind of party and the booths and the lunches that they sell and stuff was at San Lorenzo Park. So it was a little longer. There was actually no people on Water Street, even though that was a long walk. So you actually get to be with the same people, because it's the same distance along Pacific, but it used to take longer to get to the end. And always right in front of, for at least into the mid-80s, as we rounded the corner there by the town clock to go on Water Street, right there in front of the post office, was a group of faith-based organizations that were kind of yelling, that were yelling at us, yelling horrible things. So what a difference 20 years makes. Now maybe those same faith-based organizations are now in the parade rather than you know, yelling at the parade. It was kind of this jarring jolt to sort of come down Pacific and waving at everybody, and as the, you know, as you left the people, and just before the bands were playing at the park, just before then, there was this shouting match. This kind of angry shouting match. It was quite a jolt. And I wasn't practicing in the 80s. And so I didn't have that turning the light inward practice. And you know, dwelling in that inward light is really unchangeable. It's always radiant light. It's always awakened mind. It's always in love with everything it sees. It doesn't change. I think I was a lot more you know, battered around by the emotions and anger, and then I just kept walking and kind of calmed down as I got to the park. But that was the experience for a couple of decades of this parade. And now the radiant light of that parade, with all the faith-based groups, with all the, you know, now the second largest groups there at the parade are, first, you know, there's all the faith-based groups, but the second group is now marijuana dispensaries marching. So now there's just what Dogen says, nothing but repose and bliss in our parade practice, in our zazen practice. Don't be afraid to really know the temperature of this water. To really know your awakened mind, to really know your Buddha nature. Get really confident in that, so that and view the world as nothing but that. The people that are no longer on the corner, but you know, what would it have been like to not see them as outside of the parade of life as I knew it then? What would it have been, say, you know, even that is radiant light. And when I want to, if I really want to communicate with them, not really just bantering back and forth, but when I really want to communicate with them, I think it'll be a different conversation if I see them as nothing but radiant light. I'll wind up here, and if anybody has their own knowing of awakened mind, or their ideas of what the true practice of Mahayana Buddhism is, just raise your hand. Shakti.
I have Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been really faced with that in a big way. I live in constant pain, but it's interesting because I'm not at odds with that anymore.
Yeah.
It's being able to accept my condition and use it as a way to have more compassion for others. So I'm fortunate to have the foresight to be a yoga teacher, because it gives me the opportunity to share some of these same concepts with my students and help them to be okay in bodies that don't work like everybody else's, to free themselves of the burden of that, of feeling alone, because Buddhism teaches us that we're not alone. In fact, we're beyond our bodies. And if you know you're beyond your body, then when your body stops working right, it's okay, because that's just, it's a vehicle that maybe doesn't work so well anymore. My car has a flat, so it's kind of stuck on the side of the road, and I have to figure out how to change the tire. But there's always someone there to help me with that. And I have the opportunity to connect with people on that level. So I think it's an amazing practice, whether you sit every day or not.
No, that's the whole deal. That's the whole deal. We it's not that we have a perfect life over here, and every once in a while we're visited by the guest of pain that we hope doesn't stay too long, and leaves this real life and goes back to wherever it came from. But at some point we say, you know, as you did, this isn't outside of my life. This is the whole works. This is the whole works. And those people aren't outside of the parade. We're all in this parade together. Yeah. Thank you. Your wheelchair sounded like it had a flat during walking meditation. This corner was a little bit loud. This corner was a little loud. Did she break down? Thank you. Nettie. And it's not accepting it in a nihilistic way that, you know, everything is fine because it's all Buddha, no matter what it is. It's that where's this wire? It's that shift in saying, you know, I can either, you know, yell back at those people that are out there, or I can say, you know, how do I want to do this now that I'm not separate from them? And it's just that subtle shift.
And that's when you end up
They're closer. They're closer. We don't have to yell as loud. They're closer. Another metaphor that I forgot to bring up was Catherine used to talk about the calm water at the bottom of the ocean and the waves. You know, that we spend our lives maybe being bantered around in the surface, and that can we remember to walk, you know, take every step to the full bottom of the ocean so that we're coming out of that harmony and tranquility. Rather than, can we have that conversation, you know, at the top of the wave? So we pick your metaphor for, but thank you very much. Liz.
But I think for me, when I go on vacation, I'm not trying to protect or defend or have a different space. And I'm just thinking about how when I am stuck in a limited view, just how to remember the beautiful irrigation.
Mm. Yeah.
Conversations today would have gone so
differently.
Yeah.
Like, oh, welcome to Buddha. Well, that's why I wanted to make sure that, you know, we knew that we didn't have to always be on vacation, that it wasn't some sort of rosy, optimistic frame of mind, but even just that turn, that slight turn, like that, gee, there's suffering here, and how can I really be with this? That just that slight turn changes everything. Maybe not to vacation, but something has shifted when we can do that slight turn. That, oh, I want to handle this differently. I want to do something different. I want to make sure that my feet are solid on the bottom of this ocean before I say what needs to be said. Thank you. Rachel.
How should one be?
This sitting is just being. That being is another word for the unchangeable bottom of the ocean, or that unchanging awakened mind. And when you can just be, like we are in Zazen, we say, you know, I can accept the noise of the school across the street. I can accept the temperature of this room. So we just are. We just sort of plant our feet. And if we can know that foot planting or the just sitting in negotiating the world, I think that's how did you put it? How do we be? It was more grammatical when you said it.
I'm just confirming that there is a way to be.
I would say that. What does Shohaku remind us of in his commentary that there's the solid Dharma position of the mountains, and at the same time there's the mountains walking. And maybe that's our being. And I think, as metaphors go, the mountains are this metaphor of our Buddha nature. Abiding nature and our flowing nature, our walking nature, our just sitting, and then our driving home mountains. Let's have cookies outside. May our sitting practice give us the confidence to abide in our awakened mind, and may our open-hearted, intimate, awakened mind go on endlessly beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Illusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless.